All right, it looks like it is 6 o'clock.
All right, we'll go ahead and open up this meeting, August 5th, 2025, 6 o'clock.
All right, I'm gonna go and do roll call. Robert?
Present.
Brian?
Here.
Lloyd?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Kelly?
Here.
All right, and it looks like the floor is all yours, Catherine, if you are starting first.
I'll go ahead.
Or Michelle.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, so the reason we brought you all here tonight is for workshop. This is a workshop on the efforts that our regional climate planning team has been working on. So I don't know if you guys remember me talking about the mandate from the state that we're required to now plan for climate change, and we have to create a new climate element in our comprehensive plan. So we discussed that with the jurisdictions in the county and across the river, and we decided to do a regional effort. So there's 5 jurisdictions, not everybody chose to participate. And so we jointly pooled our money and resources together and hired a fantastic team of consultants to lead the work for us. And so they're here tonight, Gretchen and Catherine, and they're gonna walk you through all of the work that we've been doing for the past, I don't know, how long's it been, guys, 6 months or so? And we are nearing the finish line. We're not quite there yet. Our work will be complete in October. But we wanted to share with you guys some of the stuff that we've been working on and information. And so we'll just kind of walk through what we've been doing, the process, and, you know, the reasons behind it, why, you know, the state mandates and that sort of thing, and give you guys a little bit of background of all the work. So with no further ado, I will turn it over to them.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Michelle. And thanks, everybody, so much for having us tonight. We're excited to be here and excited to talk through this body of work. As Michelle mentioned, my name is Gretchen Miller, and I'm a director at Cascadia Consulting Group and also serve as the project manager for the Tri-Cities Regional Climate Element, which is the project and body of work that we're here to talk to you all about tonight. I'm joined by Catherine Allison from Cascadia, who's working with me on this regional planning effort, as well as Ben Floyd, who I believe is in the room with you all, from White Bluffs Consulting, who's leading the periodic update to the comprehensive plan. Go to the next slide, please. So this is our agenda for our time with you all tonight. So we'll do a handful of slides that really talk through this regional plan and the requirements associated with it that are mandated by the state, which is the second agenda item, those requirements. Then we'll talk through some of the key components, what is a climate element and what are the various different main pieces of that element. Then we'll talk through, there's been a lot of analysis that's been done as part of this effort, so we'll talk through some of the high-level things. And then we'll do a snapshot of the draft goals and policies, and also just recognize that Michelle sent you all a document of those goals and policies in advance. I know you all are busy people, so may not have had a chance to look at those. We'll just orient you all to that document so that you can dive more deeply into it if you'd like after this meeting. And then we'll wrap up with next steps. Any questions on the agenda before we get started here tonight?
One question.
Yes.
A column shown as rationale, is that going to be published with the draft policy?
No, that was
just separate.
Yeah, that was okay. Just for your guys' background.
All right.
Provide a little bit of context.
Okay.
Yeah, good question. And yes, please, we've got a series of PowerPoint slides for you all, which I know adds a level of formality to this, but any and all questions at any times, please don't hesitate to just jump in and ask us. And we'll answer what we can, and then we'll get answers for the things that maybe we don't have answers to tonight. So with that, we can go to the next slide. Well, I guess before I pause, any other questions on the agenda tonight and what we're looking to cover with you all?
No.
Okay, great. All right, so diving right in here, and I know Michelle, you already presented on a few of these things. We've got a couple of slides that talk about this regional effort and, you know, kind of the context setting around why this regional effort. And so I'll turn it over to you for these couple of slides. And
yeah.
Back.
So as I mentioned, there's five of us that are involved. We got together as all of Franklin County jurisdictions and all of Benton County jurisdictions, and the five that you see are the ones who elected to join into a regional effort. We felt like doing individual climate plans, especially the big three Tri-Cities, weren't going to be very conducive. So we wanted to think, because climate change and vehicle trips particularly affect more than one city, we wanted to kind of look at it strategically as a larger area. And so it's us as the county, Kennewick, Pasco, Richland. So we got the big three and West Richland. Unfortunately, Benton City, Prosser, and Franklin County chose not to participate, and they're doing their own individual plans. We're trying to kind of collaborate with them and their consultants as much as possible, but they're, you know, on their own track, and they're going to have their own policies and guidelines and that sort of thing. Hopefully it can be cohesive, and we're working with them to the best of our ability, but for whatever reason, political or otherwise, they chose not to join it. So we have been meeting for about a year outside of having the consultants on the regional effort. We also had the Benton Franklin Council of Governments, who's our kind of our regional transportation folks. They're assisting us by kind of being the main point of contact with the consulting team. So all of the money is being funneled through them. They're providing a little bit of their own money. So they didn't get grants from the state, only the cities and the counties did. And the BFCOG has decided to put in their own money because they believe in this kind of regional effort, and it speaks to some of their priorities with vehicle miles traveled and bicycles and that sort of thing. So we formed kind of a six organization approach, and it's been working really, really well. With that, we formed a climate policy advisory team. So this is a group of citizens who are looking at all of the documentation and weighing in, and we have a couple hour meetings. We're having four of them throughout the time that the consultants are on board, and they're providing us feedback and guidance. That's been really helpful. We have just shy of 40 people on that action team, which ranges from the local jurisdictions and their public works departments, since they're the traffic officials for each one of us. We have a citizens climate change lobby group. We have farmers. We have disproportionate and underrepresented community members. We have students on the team. So it's a real comprehensive group of people who represent, you know, all of the different types of people in the Tri-Cities who are going to be affected in the long run by how climate change is affecting our community. So we were pretty pleased with the level of participation from a lot of different walks of life for that group. So if you want to go to the next slide, Catherine. So just kind of looking at how we are approaching this, because it's regional, we're going really, really wide and general with our goals and policies. And then what we all anticipate doing as jurisdictions is, because most of the consultants aren't our comprehensive plan consultants, they're going to develop this guiding document with all of these policies and approaches. And then each one of us as jurisdictions are going to hand that off to our comprehensive plan consultants. For us, it's Ben Floyd and his team. And then they're going to specifically identify things that work for our jurisdictions and put those kind of jurisdiction level policies and strategies into each one of our plans for us. So the goal is that even though it's gonna start broad, we're gonna have a very similar current of policies and goals for each community. So hopefully we can be kind of consistent in the practices that we adopt going forward. And then the analysis that Gretchen and Catherine and the rest of the team have done for us so far, or are going to do, our climate impact assessment, an audit of our existing policies and documents, which was quite a big lift, a vulnerability assessment to kind of show where we are going to, if not already are, weak or at risk, I would say, and then do a greenhouse gas inventory, a wedge analysis, and then vehicle miles traveled. And that one's been really, really interesting. Like I said, as you guys all know, a lot of people commute from one part of the county to the other, or from Pasco into Benton County or Yakima County into the Tri-Cities. And so the vehicle miles traveled study has been very interesting, and I think it'll be very helpful for us going forward in planning as a region.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Any questions for Michelle on that piece, the regional piece, and how it folds into the comprehensive plan? Well, we have a few slides at the end too, where both myself and Ben will dive a little more deeply into that baton handoff. But any questions for Michelle before I keep rolling here?
No.
Okay, great. All right, so moving into the state requirements, and I thought it would be helpful just to share a little bit about the various pieces to the state requirements. And as Michelle mentioned, this is mandated by the state. And this regional effort received grant funding from the Department of Commerce to pay for this effort as well. And so I'll just speak to some of the specifics as it relates to the state requirements. So first of all, what is a climate element? In 2023, the legislature amended the Growth Management Act, the GMA, through House Bill 1181 here. And the resulting GMA requirements made it so that newly gave a new task to cities and counties to integrate both climate resilience as well as gas emission reduction policies into comprehensive planning efforts, which is that additional element, the climate element, into the comprehensive planning updates. And not every city or county around the state needs to do a greenhouse gas sub-element, but certain cities and counties that are over a certain number in terms of population trigger that additional requirement. So this effort has both the resilience sub-element and the greenhouse gas sub-element. So the two sub-elements that get rolled up into what will be the climate element for this effort. And something that we just wanted to call out too, so we are following the guidance to a T each step of the way. So each of the different deliverables that Michelle mentioned briefly in one of her slides are directly pulled from the guidance document from the state. And so the ultimate result of this final deliverable of climate element, it will be compliant with GMA and House Bill 1181 requirements. It will be and is informed by data as well as community engagement, integrated with other plans and other comp plan elements. So that's something that's really critical, a really critical piece to this, because we've had our eye on the comprehensive planning efforts that are happening at each of the participating jurisdictions that are around the table for this effort, and know that these policies, these draft policies, draft goals, and other data elements will be pulled into the climate elements for each of the participating jurisdictions. So making sure that this plan is easy to use for these other efforts, as well as supported by county staff and decision makers, and also this clear, feasible, and proven path to implementation. So also that eye on implementation of those policies in the future and when they make sense to each of the jurisdictions in their, you know, final set of policies that will show up in the comprehensive plans. Any questions on the state requirements before we head into the key components to the climate element?
Nope.
Okay, keep going then. So we can go to the next slide, please, thanks. So as I mentioned, the climate element includes both a greenhouse gas emissions reduction and climate resilience sub-elements. So there are two sub-elements that will be part of this climate element. The emissions reduction sub-element includes emissions reduction measures to reduce both greenhouse gas as well as vehicle miles traveled, as Michelle mentioned. And the resilience sub-element focuses on adaptation measures to improve community resilience to climate impacts. And in alignment with the Growth Management Act, the climate element also seeks to support those overburdened communities that may be experiencing first and worst consequences of climate change. And this regional element includes both of these sub-elements, as I mentioned, and addresses the key requirements, all the key requirements identified in the Growth Management Act. So this slide has kind of the recipe, the various pieces that then become your regional climate element. And I won't go into each of these requirements. I know they're on the slide here, so I won't read them, but just wanted to pull out these three requirements, and that Commerce requires that Benton County develop climate resilience goals and policies. This is in the resilience sub-element. The minimum requirements are listed here. So requirement one, requirement two, requirement three. And essentially these requirements include developing at least one climate resilient goal and supportive policy for each climate exacerbated hazard that is relevant to the region and within each of the 11 Commerce identified priority sectors, which we're going to go through briefly as well, orient you all to those priority sectors in just a few slides here. So we can go to the next slide. Thank you. And this next slide lists the three requirements, minimum requirements that we need to uphold to for the GHG emissions reduction sub-element. So these three requirements are listed here. And the GHG emissions mitigation sub-element is required for Benton and Franklin County cities that have over 6,000 people. So that's the threshold there that the state has identified for this additional sub-element. And for each of these, for both the sub-element for resilient, the resilient sub-element, as well as the GHG sub-element, Commerce has provided very detailed guidance. And we've been following that lock and step every step of the way. And the objective of the sub-element is to measure, reduce, and eliminate local greenhouse gas emissions, as well as per capita VMT, vehicle miles traveled, through comprehensive plan goals and policies. And one other thing I wanted to mention here before we keep moving is these goals and policies work towards an overall GHG reduction target. And we'll get into some of the, just a handful of examples of some of the goals and policies by priority sector to orient you all to the document that Michelle circulated prior to this meeting. Any questions on either of those slides that get into the minimum requirements?
No.
Okay. Keep on moving then. So here's the timeline, and you'll see, and as Michelle mentioned at the beginning of this presentation here, lots of different pieces, so lots of different ingredients to the recipe that then becomes the final climate element in October. And so we just thought it would be helpful to share kind of the technical work that then gets rolled up into those draft goals and policies, that then gets rolled up into the final climate element by the end of October. And that's when we do the baton handoff over to Ben and his team and the rest of the Benton County staff to then work it into the comprehensive plan as its own standalone climate element as part of the periodic update for your comprehensive plan. And we've got an overlay. So this bottom half of the timeline here shows all the various different touch points, but both from the action team, so the CPAT that we've called it over the last few months here, of that advisory team, as well as our community engagement touch points. And we had a set of community meetings that were both online, in person in March, which seems like a lifetime ago at this point. And then we have another touch point in the community engagement space in September. And we'll also have a public review window from September until early October. And then the bottom line there is just CPAT involvement and the touch points and really what we focus on for the engagement of that group, that advisory team. Any clarifying questions on either the timeline, the minimum requirements of each of these two sub-elements? Okay, we will keep going here. Great, and we thought it would be helpful just to share a few high-level key findings from some of the research, some of the analysis that we've done as it informed the goals and policies that you have in front of you. And with that, I will turn it over to you, Catherine.
Great, thank you all. As Gretchen mentioned, I'm just gonna share a few of the key findings for Benton County that are related to the climate element. And these are from the technical reports that Michelle introduced you to and that Gretchen walked us through as well. The first I want to talk through is some of the community engagement that we have heard from people. So these are the regional findings from the community survey. I just want to note that these responses are not broken down by location. So this is for what we heard from across the region of the participating jurisdictions. We got a lot of responses of people's experiences around extreme weather events and how they've had financial impacts, physical health impacts. They've shared their concerns for specific weather impacts like wildfire and extreme heat and drought, and as well as some support for different resiliency strategies, including increasing shade and tree canopy, some natural ways to control flooding, and more availability and accessibility of affordable heating and cooling. These are the key climate hazards that we identified in our research, and they were also supported by our survey results. So our survey findings reflected that residents in the region identified that these are the main weather-related hazards that they are experiencing in their daily lives. I also wanted to touch on the key findings from our vulnerability assessment for Benton County. These include wildfire risk to property owners and the residential and agricultural burns that can increase wildfire risk and harm, contribute to poor air quality. The county's agriculturally centered economy is also vulnerable to drought. And the county also has a history of washouts and erosion of county roads. There's a lot more vulnerabilities and adaptive capacities that we identified in our document, but I just wanted to give a super high level overview of some of the ones that rose to the surface for us. I also wanted to share this overview of the primary greenhouse gas emissions for Benton County. You'll see on this graph that the emissions are divided into three main categories: transportation, buildings and solid waste. And the two largest emission sources for the county are on-road passenger vehicles and on-road freight and service vehicles, in alignment with some of the vehicle miles traveled conversations that we've already been touching on. And finally, I wanted to highlight some of the ways the county's comprehensive plans and shoreline master program plans are already addressing climate resilience and aligning with these commerce requirements. So we found that existing policies are prioritizing increasing recreational spaces and natural area protection, encouraging water and stormwater conservation. We also identified some gaps that our new policies are going to try to address, and these include ecosystem protection, carbon sequestration, and waste reduction. And I'll pause here if anyone has any questions on any of these technical pieces that I give a very brief overview to.
In the section for precipitation, I noticed that nothing was mentioned about snow. There are times we get excessive snow here, and that needs to be addressed.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate that comment for sure. Precipitation comes in many ways, and it's something that we have looked at in a lot of our work. So we'll make sure we take that comment into consideration.
Other questions? Nope.
All right.
Question?
Yeah, just a clarification in talking about the snow precipitation. Are you referring to like it impeding transportation, or as in like the bulk of it and what to do with it when it's on the ground? Drainage and that type of thing?
They go hand in hand because of impeding traffic. But then again, with the rapid melting comes flooding. We saw that with the construction in the 80s of the Zintel Canyon Dam.
Gotcha.
Okay. We just had an event a couple of years ago out where I live in Cottonwood Springs, where there was a big melt off of the snow. The ground was froze underneath. And it went right down a draw, basically Case Avenue, and flooded several homes.
Yeah. So I think, Catherine, what I'm hearing them say is maybe if you guys can look at or include some sort of consideration for the effects of our, you know, extreme winter events, and then how, you know, the thaw would then add to the flood risk outside of just riverine flood risks and other flood risks that we identified in our plan.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
How many times has the Westbridge Golf Course been flooded?
So that's actually a floodway, so it's supposed to be flooded.
It is.
It's a mapped floodway. So
the year that Van Giesman is impassable because of 3 feet of water over the roadway.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know about Van Giesman and where it lies in the flood zone. I do know for sure that the entire flood, the entire golf course is either in a floodplain or in the floodway itself, which is the most direct route of flooding. So that's where the water is supposed to go. So that's an appropriate ecological response. But we can look at, you know, definitely winter storm events and how that might affect, you know, flooding and other issues in our community.
Aren't those generally covered under the 100-year flood, though, assessments that they do?
Not for snow. So FEMA's flood maps are generally for surface water, not necessarily like a winter storm event and then the runoff from that.
Okay.
Catherine?
Yeah. Any other comments, questions in the room?
Nope.
Okay, great. If anything comes up, feel free to jump in at any time. All right, we can go to the next slide here. So wanted to also share with you, as I mentioned, and as Michelle mentioned at the beginning as well, she circulated a document that has the by priority sector by the Department of Commerce, Department of Commerce, their guidance document has the priority sector. So those are the ones that we used for this planning effort. And we circulated the goals and policies by draft goals and policies by priority sector. So that's the document you all have in front of you all. And we thought it'd be helpful to just share kind of the process of the draft policies and where they are right now and really where they're headed as draft goals and policies. And so this flowchart captures the policy drafting process and how and when they go from draft to final. So they're very much in draft form. And even though the final regional climate element will be considered final, that's when we do the baton handoff over to Ben and his team and Michelle and her team to then get to work on integrating it into Benton County's comprehensive planning update. And then we'll go through an adoption process alongside all the other elements as part of that comp plan through the April to October timeframe. So we wrap up our work here with Michelle and the rest of the project team in October of this year. And then Ben and his team wrap up their work in October of next year. Go to the next slide. Thought it'd be helpful to you to just walk through, and I won't read a line by line here, but just capturing the priority sectors as listed in Commerce's guidance. And so these are the ones, this is how this resilience sub-element is organized. And so we've got a goals and policies associated with each of these priority sectors rather. And the same goes for the next slide, which is the GHG. And so the mitigation strategies cover what's on the far right here as well. And you'll notice that in your document, in the draft document in front of you, it's organized accordingly as well. Great, now I'm gonna turn it over to Catherine to give a brief snapshot to further drill down into the organization of what is the document that you all have in front of you.
Great. So I'm just going to share a few of the draft goals and a policy for each that we've drafted. And I want to highlight that when we're drafting policies, especially in the resilience sub-element that align with those 11 priority sectors that Commerce has that Gretchen just outlined, we often find that a lot of those sectors are really interrelated. And so to create the strongest policy and to also not have many like duplicate policies, for example, we like to combine where applicable. So for this example, we have water resources, ecosystems, agriculture, and food systems are all combined. They will all meet that commerce requirement of a policy for that sector. And this goal, we have one goal for each of those sectors that we've outlined in the document that you all have. And then there are a varying number of policies related to that goal. So this is just one of our resilience goals that we've outlined as a draft, and then one of the example draft policies for this section. Also wanted to share another resilience goal that we have combined the health and well-being sector with the emergency management sector. Again, these are two that often really speak to each other and are interrelated. And so this is one of those draft goals that you'll see in your document and one of the policies that fall in that section. And finally, I wanted to share an example of one of our GHG emission reduction sub-element goals. Here we've combined transportation, zoning and development, and land use. And this one is working towards a vehicle miles traveled reduction. An example of the policy, and this policy in particular is trying to address a lot of those collaborative efforts that are already happening throughout the region.
And so if you all do dive more deeply into that draft document that you all have in front of you, just a few questions that we thought we would put in front of you all to think about as you review that document. So the first one, are there any major gaps in the goals or policies that you see? Is there something important that isn't addressed in that set of draft goals and policies? And then the third question to consider, are there groups of people that would be most benefited or burdened by a particular policy? Because that's something that we really want to track to, and then potentially change the language of whether it's a draft goal or a draft policy to make sure that there isn't a particular group that is benefiting from one of the policies more than another group or being more burdened by a policy. So I wanted to put those questions out there. If you all have initial kind of thoughts on these questions that you want to share now, or if you in kind of further review of that document, please share any and all insights that you have. And to Michelle, and then she will get them over to us. Anything you all want to share that comes to mind now that you want us to capture?
Well, Gretchen, I just want to add one thing. When you guys are considering the goals and policies in this document, I just say keep in mind that this is both urban and rural because it is regional. And so one of the things we've been working with the team on is making sure that there are urban goals in there. Like you saw in the last goal and the policy was kind of talking about transit and walkability and that sort of thing. That might not always be a great fit for Benton County unincorporated, but it's a really great thing for the rest of our partners who are doing this regional effort. So that might not be one that we necessarily extract for our comprehensive plan, but it will shape maybe another policy that we can use or think about that would be more fitting for, you know, areas like Findlay or Plymouth or Patterson, which are quite far away and don't have transit service. So like I said, just keep in mind that this is a pretty big general document and we will be whittling it down bit by bit and incorporating it with Ben's help into our comprehensive plan.
Yeah. So do you want comments sent to you rather than going through them here?
Yeah, if you have a list of comments, we can definitely take them and then send them on to the team. And we've been kind of using track changes, both with the community group and with the jurisdictions as we're reviewing these documents, which is really helpful. And then we send them on. So if you have them noted, I can also get you probably a Word document if that would be helpful too. But I think we send it to you in a PDF. So whatever way works best for you.
Question though.
Sure.
What is BFCOG?
The Benton Franklin Council of Governments.
Okay.
They're that regional entity that's kind of transportation focused, and they're helping be the liaison between the consultants and the five cities, just because the cities have a lot on, and the county has a lot on our plate right now, and the Council of Governments has a little bit more staff capacity to do all of the administrative work that it takes to get this project going and underway and working with the consultants. Any other questions? I don't see any more.
Okay, just a couple of slides here. Thank you all for bearing with us. Great, and I see a comment in the chat from Debbie too. Major source of mobile emissions comes from traffic to and from Hanford. How much of a role do you see Department of Energy playing in the development of this document? So great question. We'll go through the slides and then we can come back to that question as well. So the, wanted to just do a quick snapshot in a different form from the timeline, because I know that covered every single piece that we've been working on since November, which is when we were onboarded onto this project, until now, to really look ahead and look forward at what is coming down the road here. So the STAR is where we are now, and then we have a few key touch points. So finalizing the draft policies, we've got the public comment period coming up in straddling part of September into the early part of October of that draft climate, the regional draft climate element. Then we will wrap up our work in that final document, incorporating the input that we've received at each of our planning commission meetings for the various participating jurisdictions, as well as from that public comment period to get to that final regional climate element in October. And that's when we do the baton handoff with White Bluff's team, where they'll be working with you all, with Michelle and her team, to develop that county-specific climate element by February, and then completing and compiling that comprehensive plan and wrapping up that effort at the end of October. And I know, Ben, we've got one more slide, Ben, and then I'm going to pass it over to you to really dive in a little bit more into what this group can expect as it relates to that integration piece. So here we have the baton handoff in another visual. We like visuals. And so we're wrapping up in October. And then with that, I will turn it over to you, Ben, for the second pieces on this flowchart here.
Great. Thanks, Gretchen and Catherine. So good evening. Good to be with you again. So yes, once we get the regional climate element, then as your staff, we'll go through, kind of do an initial cut and decide kind of which pieces we're going to bring into the climate element specific to the county's comprehensive plan, the two different sub elements, the climate resiliency and the greenhouse gas emissions. And then we'll work that probably through like maybe November and December. And I put in the schedule that we try to get that to you by February. It could be January, but I gave ourselves a little bit of float time depending upon all the other things that are going on. But just like we've been doing with you, we give you a few topics every few months or sometimes twice a month like we did in June. You'll have a draft climate resiliency element that we'll share with you as our kind of first cut at what the county specific element will look like. Then you can give us comments and feedback on that. And then you'll see it again when we compile the entire plan. You should get the entire plan by April, which we'll start the public review process, the environmental review through the environmental impact statement, and we'll hold your hearings and make your recommendations and all that. And that will take us, we're targeting October. It could be a little earlier, it could be a little later. But that's the plan for developing that element. If there are some specific, like I haven't decided for sure, we could start with a more of an outline and share that with you and get feedback on the outline. Or because you already have a lot of the content, I'm thinking we'd probably just take a first cut at preparing that draft element and then sharing it with you and talking about it. And if we need to take a couple meetings, we'll sure plan to do that. And of course there'll be many other topics that we'll also be hitting with you, other draft elements of the plan, agritourism recommendations, open space, additional recommendations for that, updated land use plan, the EIS, different alternatives. So there's lots of different things that kind of come at you. This is one of those pieces, obviously a pretty important piece that will be shared with you by February, if not January.
Okay. Any questions? Are you guys excited for all the work ahead of us?
I mean, they've been getting excited.
I know.
Except my apologies. The day got away from me. I planned to have provided some snacks tonight and just didn't get to it. So
we'll hold that against you.
Next time. What's next?
We did have one comment from Debbie in the chat about the trips between the jurisdictions and Hanford. Obviously, Hanford's one of our major employers. And then how much of a role do we see the Department of Energy playing? I personally, as staff, don't see the Department of Energy playing any role in this. We'd like to think that perhaps they would consider this in their planning documents and tools, but they are completely differently regulated than we are, and they're not held to the same requirements that the state is. So they don't have to consider climate change or any of the other assessments that we do currently right now. So hopefully it will serve as a really great model and a resource, but I don't foresee their participation willingly at any point, unfortunately, in this. But a lot of their employees are our residents, so hopefully, you know, we can have some impact on the ground from a residential standpoint and a jurisdiction standpoint.
I might just add one other thought, not specific to Debbie's comment, but so we will be reviewing the draft climate element when it comes out. So we'll already start, you know, reviewing and thinking about what pieces are going to come into the county specific element. And so if we have, you know, a set of detailed comments, we can share those with you, or we can incorporate that into the draft as we put that together.
Any other comments?
Not in public.
I can see it on your face, Brian.
If we have any questions, we can contact you privately, correct?
Any of us, yep.
Okay.
Yep. Questions, all right. Comments.
All right.
And if you guys just, yeah. If you want to send them to the email to me, I always can forward them on to Michelle.
You can contact me or Ben, any of us.
And just remember, this is a requirement that we have, right? It's through the state. And so we have to address it, right? And so we address it in a way that works for Benton County.
And I will say too that not every county and every jurisdiction has to go to the level of detail that we are, but the state selected the larger jurisdictions as having to go into more detail, which is why we're doing the greenhouse gas component of it and a little bit more technical analysis. Not every county is subject to that. So a lot of the smaller counties and their cities within those boundaries don't have to do that. So
we'll just focus on fire and flood.
Yeah. So we're one of 11 counties that were elected to get to do this process in more detail. And honestly, like I said, I think it's beneficial. We're having a pretty good look. So hopefully we can come up with some good strategies that, you know, will fit our community. Awesome. Well, right. I think that's everything. Thanks, Gretchen and Catherine. If we have any questions that need your assistance, we will be in touch. Otherwise, I think that is everything we have on the agenda for tonight. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you all so much. Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.